Father in heaven, indeed we would see Jesus today. Our vision is often so clouded. Please give us your grace this morning to see clearly so that we can understand and know what it is you would like to say to us. Help us, Father, to put away anything that is distracting us, the cares of the weak, the concerns, the stresses that are to come. We ask that you would help us to put those things away so that we can focus on you and the truth that you want to speak to us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot earlier this morning, if someone would retrieve a clicker for me from the top, I'd appreciate that. This morning, we're going to take a look at a passage in Scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. If your memory is better than mine, the last time that I spoke, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to do that again today, a different section of that chapter. Deuteronomy 32 is a chapter that, at least in my Bible, has the heading of the Song of Moses. Now, there are two songs of Moses in Scripture. One of them is in early Exodus after the crossing of the Red Sea. This is where Israel was celebrating the victory over Egypt and God's deliverance for them. This Song of Moses is very different. Thank you, Justin. This Song of Moses is very different in that it is not a song of victory, but rather a song of judgment and a dire future for Israel. That's why I've entitled the sermon today, A Poor Prognosis. You know what a prognosis is. Maybe you've been there before, sitting in a doctor's office waiting for the diagnosis and the prognosis. The diagnosis, of course, is what tells us what's wrong with us. The prognosis is what's it going to look like in the future. For many of us, we've gone to the doctor, the prognosis may be, don't worry, as long as you take the medicine, you'll feel fine in a couple days. For some of us, perhaps, the prognosis has been, you have X amount of time to live. For Israel, this prognosis that they are about to get from God is a poor prognosis, and the big problem with this is that Israel has the choice to prevent it. And although God gives them every opportunity to prevent this from happening, they do not. So, this morning, first, I'd like to invite you to come into the doctor's office with me, as you can feel like you're in a doctor's office. There's the stethoscope, the doctor's pocket full of brand name pens there. The doctor is in, the great physician, to give the diagnosis to Israel. This morning, I want you to think about how Israel's diagnosis may be our diagnosis as well. The patient's name is Jeshurun. How many of you have heard of Jeshurun? Not very many of us. Jeshurun is a name that means the upright one. It means the upright one because Jeshurun is a name that is a symbol of Israel. Often in Scripture, the church is symbolized by a woman. In this particular case, the whole nation of Israel and then the church at large is symbolized by this gentleman named Jeshurun, the upright one. And unfortunately, his actions do not fit with his name. And you'll see that in a second. But like any good doctor, the great physician, God, who fortunately is able both to diagnose and cure, he cures those who are willing to be cured. The doctor is in. What is the diagnosis? What is the prognosis? Join me in Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to summarize the verses that come before this diagnosis, because any good doctor starts off with the good news, right? There's good news and bad news. We want to hear the good news first. Here's what God said, and this is a summary of Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 14. First of all, here's the report. Oh, excuse me, let's not go that far. Now you see what's to come. First of all, God is your rock, a God of justice and truth, your salvation. Number two, God is your Father who bought you, made, and established you. With God as our Father and God as our rock, he must be in a pretty good place. Good opportunity. Number three, God has valued you, Israel, above all nations. You are his portion, his inheritance, and the apple of his eye. And finally, God has blessed you with abundance, everything that you need. This is all the benefits that Jeshurun has. But now comes the bad part, the diagnosis. See, God tells Jeshurun that he has everything going for him. A good environment, plenty of food, a God who takes care of his every need. But our great physician cuts right to the chase. Here's the doctor's report. Three major problems. Obesity, itching ear syndrome, amnesia. Let's take a look at this first one here. Obesity. We're not talking about a literal obesity here. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 32 says, "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese." Before I read this, I didn't realize that the Bible used all three of these words all in one verse in Scripture. I was a little surprised to read this. God is not literally diagnosing a weight loss problem. There's a bigger problem here. Here's the problem. Israel forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Our patient, Jeshurun, Israel, was reminded of the abundance that God gave. The many blessings of land and protection and food that God gave. But it seems like Israel's problem is more than a simple case of obesity. It seems that Israel's obesity, metaphorical obesity, is really due to this fact. They have been eating up God's blessings while rejecting him at the same time. In fact, if you look at the four good points we listed earlier, Israel has already effectively reversed the top two. Instead of worshiping God, who is their rock, Israel has scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. And instead of following the God who made and established them, they forsook the God who made them. Instead, taking all the blessings God has given, Israel summarily reverses everything that God has given. God gives us so many blessings, doesn't he? He takes care of us every day, supplies our every need. It's a promise. He will supply our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He gives us each and every day our daily bread. We, on the other hand, are so quick to reject these blessings. Or should I say, reject the God who gives us these blessings. Oh, we like the blessings. But do we recognize where they came from? Do we acknowledge who gave them to us? Are we feasting without acknowledging God? And are we feasting without sharing with others? Now, it's true that Israel, up until this point especially, but Israel never got together as a nation and literally shook its fist to God together, saying, "God, we're putting you on notice that we officially reject you." No, but they did it much more subtly. You see, the way we show God that we love him is by following him. If you love me, Jesus said, then keep my commandments. Israel simply stopped following God. Now, there is a solution to this spiritual obesity. That's good news, right? When I go to a doctor, I want to know what's wrong with me, but I also want to know the solutions. And often, I want to know more solutions than just, take this medicine, it'll go away. I want to know what's causing the problem. We know what's causing the problem. They're taking in all God's blessings, but rejecting him at the same time. What's the solution? If spiritual obesity is hoarding up blessings, but refusing to acknowledge the source, let alone obey the source, then the antidote for obesity is humility and humble obedience. It is realizing that our blessings do not come from ourselves. But when it comes to salvation, we are saved by grace and faith in Christ, by faith in Christ's righteousness, not by works, lest anyone should boast. The cure for obesity is humble obedience, acknowledging that our blessings come from God, not ourselves. But there's more than just one problem with Jeshurun here. The next one is probably a disease that your doctor will never diagnose you with unless something new comes up. Itching ear syndrome. Itching ear syndrome. I very well could have titled this something we do know about. We could have called it restless leg syndrome, but this phrase is coined by Paul almost. I took a little liberty there. The diagnosis here is a little bit trickier to catch. Deuteronomy 32:16 says, they provoked him, talking about God, they, Israel, provoked God to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Israel is not content with what they have. They're not satisfied with what God has already provided, so they're constantly researching to see if there are other gods that might just have a better benefits package. They're looking for new gods, new arrivals. Israel has the God of the universe on their side, and they're still searching, shopping around to see if there might be a new arrival God on sale who might be content with less than all on the altar that our God expects from us. This perpetual God shopping eventually left Israel worshiping demons instead of God. Now, this shopping around doesn't have to just be for other gods necessarily. There are many who worship our God but shop around for different doctrines, right? The New Testament, Paul and Timothy had to deal with this issue in particular. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, there that is, they heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Here's another group of people, Christians this time, who have the same problem as Israel did long before them, itching ear syndrome. These Christians had decided that they only wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. They sought after speakers who talked about their favorite topics. They read only the verses that were their favorites, and they plugged their ears when anyone tried to show them otherwise. Eventually, these itching ears turned into selective listening, which turned into spiritual deafness. These people looked like Christians, but they couldn't hear the truth any longer because they had closed their ears to anything but what they wanted to hear. Like Israel of old and the Christians in Paul's day, you and I struggle with itching ear syndrome today also. How's that? Well, we know what we like to hear, don't we? Some of us have been listening to the same messages for so long that we've decided that anything other than our favorite is simply wrong. Some do what the religious leaders of Jesus' day did. Jesus says, you search the scriptures, for in them, for these are they which testify of me. Excuse me, let me say that again. We search the scriptures and inspired writings to find support for our own ideas or to prove others wrong, forgetting that Christ said, pointing to the scriptures, these are they which testify of me. Others of us are searching for the sensational. Our thirst for information has taken us outside God's word. But we spiritualize our constant sifting through YouTube or other materials, or say that we're simply looking for proofs that Jesus is coming soon, which is not a bad thing to do. But we keep searching away from God's word. Still others have followed these itching ears, always wanting new things, sensational things, big things, different things, that it leads us outside the church, outside of Christianity, outside hope, until all we are confused, not sure what the truth really is anymore. And that's what we do with itching ears in a spiritual sense. We try to find something we like to hear and go follow it. And on a small scale, I would be fairly confident in saying that all of us have done this. Because all of us know what we like to hear, and all of us know what we think is the best thing to hear. And so sometimes we close our ears to what someone says because we think someone else will say it better. Others of us go to the extremes, and whether we reject God and go one direction, or reject God but stay, think we're faithful to Him and go the opposite direction, but think we have a cornerstone on the truth, we reject God in that way with our itching ears. But I want to, what I think is more common, really, in the church, is this other definition of itching ears. It almost could be better termed the restless leg syndrome. Because while we stay faithful to God and try to stay connected to Him, which we ought to do, we try to go everywhere but Jesus for the solutions that we need. This led Jeshurun, Israel, to go so far as worshiping demons instead of God. And while I'm sure none of us knowingly worship demons, we need to realize that we worship the things that we spend our time with. That's a harder one to listen to, at least for me. Because too often, the devil tricks us into spending a good majority of our time on things that are not Christ. We spend our time analyzing politicians and sports tournaments. We spend hours binge-watching TV shows and scrolling through social media. Have you ever looked on your phone at how many hours you spend on this device each day? My guess is, not for everybody, but the younger you are, the higher the hours will be. So if you're anything like me, it's time to do something drastic to try to cut down the time we spend here and spend more time here. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in service, doing profitable things to help other people. Now, what we're doing may not necessarily be bad, but if it's taking the place of spending unrushed time with Jesus each and every day, it's an idol. I don't know about you, but that hits home for me. God doesn't want this for us, having to live our life with itching ears, so He offers us the perfect solution. If you're struggling with itching ear syndrome this morning, if you're prone to searching for other gods, other doctrines, or sensational news about God, or if you, like me, realize that you're spending your time with what you're spending your time with is getting in your way of your relationship with God, then God offers a much better solution. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired of searching? Jesus offers you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The solution for itching ear syndrome is getting to know God personally, reading his word for the purpose of getting to know him as a friend, coming to Jesus each day to spend unrushed time with him in prayer and in his word. And it is there, in the secret place of prayer, that we will find real satisfaction and true rest for our souls. Now, there is one final diagnosis we still need to listen to, although I think two is probably overwhelming enough to poor Jeshurun already, and maybe to us as well. But the doctor is not done. He continues, obesity, itching ear syndrome, amnesia. What is amnesia? Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Amnesia is chronic forgetfulness. If a patient is diagnosed with amnesia after an accident, it means they probably don't remember anything, who knows how long, but probably the accident and many hours or days or even years before the accident. Israel has forgotten God, the one who fathered him and supplied all his needs. They forgot where they had come from, and they forgot where they were going. This one, like others, is easy for you and I to do as well. In the middle of a stressful situation, I am so prone to forget that God has brought me all this way and that he won't leave me stranded now. Are you? And when circumstances start making it look like Christianity as a whole is going down the wrong track, and it largely is, the only solution to ensure that we don't go off with it is to remember where we came from. You know this quote well. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. This is why God told Israel to put up monuments to remind them of his leading, and we ought to do the same. The cure for amnesia, spiritual amnesia, the cure for forgetting how God has led us in the past is to intentionally remember what God has done for us in the past. That might not seem very profound to you, but God's solutions don't always have to be something you can't think of yourself. If you have a problem about forgetting, then remind yourself. If you forget how God has led you in the past, look at where you've come from. Look how far you've come and realize that God has been with you all the way. If you forget, if you're wondering about our church and if it's going down the wrong track, look where we've come from, and you'll see that God has brought us out of Egypt, out of all sorts of things, out of all the Reformation period, all the way through, and God is still leading us forward and leading us home. And so ends the diagnosis. Obesity, itching ear syndrome, amnesia. Unfortunately for Israel, for Jeshurun, the prognosis was poor. And although this was written down as a warning for Israel, we know that they didn't follow this advice. They did engorge themselves in God's blessings without thanking him by loving obedience. They did keep searching for other gods that just sounded better to them. They did forget how God led in their past. Other prophets, I find it fascinating that other prophets were given similar messages that reminded Israel of this diagnosis. This passage was one that King Josiah read when he was inspired at a young age to enact reforms in Israel. You'll find that in the book of Prophets and Kings. Read this passage. In Isaiah's great throne room vision, in Isaiah chapter 6, where he sees God and sees himself and experiences God's forgiveness and responds to God's call with, "Here I am, send me," the next words echo this diagnosis. Take a look. God in his great mercy explicitly proclaiming to Israel what has happened to them. Make the heart of this people dull. That word in Hebrew is the same word for fat used in Deuteronomy 32. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. You see a correlation here? Obesity, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, that's those itching ears, and shut their eyes. How do we see how God has led us in the past? Spiritual eyes. It's the same problem. God is reminding them, look, I warned you already. Here is the problem. Return to me. Jeremiah and Nehemiah both have similar messages that reference the way that Israel has grown fat from God's blessings, but rejected God at the same time. Now the question, though, we know what happened to Israel. Now the question is put to us, to you and I. As we reach the borders of our promised land, will we find ourselves spiritually obese, with itching ears and amnesia? Or will we heed the warning and seek to obey God, to get to know Him through His Word, and remember the ways God has led us in our past? We've been warned that it won't be easy. Revelation chapter 3 gives another painfully similar diagnosis to the church of Laodicea, the church that represents those right before Jesus comes to take us home. That's us. Revelation 3, verse 17 says, "You say, I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." This sounds like Jeshurun, doesn't it? Israel, who is spiritually sick and doesn't know it. Now, it seems that Israel of old is the church in Paul's day and the church of Laodicea, which is you and I, all suffer from the same ailments. We, like Jeshurun, are spiritually obese. We think we are spiritually wealthy and fine just as we are. We have this itching ear syndrome, always going after what we want to hear rather than what God is trying to tell us. We have spiritual amnesia, always forgetting how God has led us in the past and forgetting this will be our downfall. The prognosis is poor, dire. Is there any solution? Is there a balm in Gilead? Does the great physician have a prescription for our spiritual obesity, itching ear syndrome, and amnesia? Here's the prescription. It's in the next verse. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." Now, gold refined in the fire. 1 Peter 1:7 defines this as saving faith. Ellen White confirms this and determines this later. Here's the prescription. Gold refined in the fire, white garments, eye salve. Take a look at this. "The gold mentioned by Christ, the true witness, which all must have, has been shown to me to be faith and love combined. And love takes the precedence of faith." Another section, she's talking about this same verse. "They will feel the necessity of buying gold, which is pure faith and love. White raiment, which is a spotless character made pure in the blood of their dear Redeemer. And eye salve, which is the grace of God, and which will give clear discernment of spiritual things and detect sin." Gold refined in the fire, pure faith and love. White garments throughout Scripture represent righteousness, the pure, spotless character that God so wants to give to us. Eye salve, or eye drops, we'd call them today, help us to see clearly, and the grace of God truly works in us both to show us the problem and heal the problem of sin. Now, first, I looked at these three, and I paired them each with specific ailments of Jeshurun's that they cured. But the more I look at it, I realize that our great physician prescribes medication that works together to solve each of our ailments. I can't just say one is for this and this is for that. These three are all needed for all three problems. Here's why. Our spiritual obesity stems from our belief that we are rich and have need of nothing, and that this wealth has come from our own great efforts. But we aren't full of riches. We need that gold tried in the fire, the faith and love from Jesus to make us complete in Christ. We need Christ's pure character to clothe and cover our own sickly bodies. And we need that eyesalve, the grace that heals the entire body, to rid ourselves of the weight of the sin that so easily besets us. Our itching ear syndrome comes from our false belief that we know what's best for us. But we are following worthless things. We listen to doctrine, but not. We are listening to doctrine, but we are not being changed. We need to feast on the golden doctrines of faith and love. Long for these things. We need the righteousness of Jesus to cleanse us of our fatal desire to go after what is not God. And we need the eye drops of grace so that we can see clearly our rock and redeemer who wants desperately to have a vital relationship with us so that we can be saved. Amnesia really is a side effect of being obese with our own wealth and itching after what we think is good. As we focus on what is not from God, we quickly forget how God has led us in the past. This prescription will heal this ailment as well, because as we gaze into the face of Jesus, as we experience his love and righteousness and grace, everything else will grow strangely dim. Jeshurun failed to heed this warning. Israel ultimately rejected this warning, their vision becoming so clouded that they crucified the very one who came to heal them from this terminal illness. But friends, we don't have to follow their lead. God has given us every opportunity to be saved from this fate. The offer is called salvation, and the cost is already paid at a great price. Because as Jesus was being crucified by those he loved so dearly, his mind looked forward in history to you. Yes, not you as a whole, but you as individuals. Isaiah 53 tells us that while on the cross, Jesus would look forward into the future and see those who would accept his gift, that's you and I, and he would be satisfied by his death, we are saved. That by his stripes, we are healed. Today, you and I have the opportunity of accepting this gift of salvation. Today, have you seen the incredible love of a God who does not leave us where we are, but warns us of the seriousness of our condition and provides a solution at the cost of the death of Jesus? Have you seen yourself and your true condition? Full of blessings, but overweight, weighed down with the sin of keeping them to yourself and not following the one who gave them to you. Following after things you thought were important, but now you realize that they're just what you wanted to hear or what you wanted to do. Forgetting that the source of all blessings is God, and forgetting how God has led you in your past. Do you want to experience the healing and forgiveness by accepting that gift of gold tried in the fire, the faith and love displayed to us on every page of Scripture? Do you want to accept Jesus' own spotless character, his white robe of righteousness, as his gift to you? Do you want Jesus to put eye salve, those eye drops of grace, into your eyes so that you can see the sin that you need to be convicted of and know that Jesus will lead you to victory? Whatever that sin is. He offers all this without money, without price. It's for you. It's only after we have seen God for who he is, seen ourselves for who we really are, and experienced God's forgiveness by accepting his free gifts, that we will be ready to say, "Here I am, send me." We've come to an important time for our church when we are looking to select spirit-filled individuals to serve our church. It's my prayer that this is the last time we'll have to do this before Jesus comes again. But even if it isn't, the urgency is still the same. Will you pray for guidance in choosing individuals who are aware of their own condition, who are allowing God to work in their lives by His grace, and are following Him with all their heart, soul, and strength? And the even harder part is this. Will you intentionally look to Jesus so that you can see your own condition? Accept the grace that He offers you to work in your life and follow Jesus with all your heart, soul, and strength. I hope that is your prayer today. And if so, I just want to invite you to stand with me as we pray together a prayer of consecration and surrender. Loving Father in heaven, we come to you this morning knowing that we are in trouble. Sin has separated us from you. We know that we suffer with ailments. We've talked about them this morning. Father, I thank you so much that you do invite us to come to you just as we are. Broken, tired, sick. And that you promise to transform us by the power of your grace. Oh Lord, sometimes it's what we are holding on to that keeps you from being able to work in our lives. I ask that you would please help us to surrender those things, to let go of those things that we grasp onto. The things that we think are important, the sins that so easily beset us. Please, God, transform us. We give our faults, our imperfections, our flaws to you and ask that you would transform us into the likeness of your Son. We consecrate ourselves to you today. Lord, please take us. We ask, God, that you would please lead us, lead your church, as we again seek to choose individuals to serve our church. For the next few years, we pray for wisdom from on high to do this. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would please bless us to serve where you're calling us to serve, to be a blessing, and to have victory so that one day, all of us together as a church family, everyone in the sound of my voice this morning, would be able to be around the great throne in heaven shouting praises to our God because you have saved us. You are our God, our rock, our redeemer, and our great physician. We look forward to that day. Help us to keep our eyes on you until then. In Jesus' name, amen.